fighting for America.
This is a bigger issue than Tony. This highlights a universal problem with law enforcement and how its procedures have been carried out, especially in light of what's happened over the summertime.
Fighting for Idaho.
If you buy 100 books of authoritative Islamic law, what you're going to find is 100% of those books say that jihad is obligatory until the entire world is under Islamic rule. There's no other version of it.
Fighting for you.
School districts, again, have been levying in order to just keep the doors open, let alone keep programs going for our students.
Voice Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
A blessing to be with you, Kevin Miller in the Morning here at 580 KIDO. Joining us now, Dr. Gerard Lamero with us once again to talk about net neutrality. You were quite the hit the last time you were on, sir.
Oh, really? Well, that's good to know.
We had a young person calling in from Boise State on his way to the computer science class trying to call you out, and he was saying that net neutrality was a good thing and life was wonderful, and we were all out of touch. So good morning.
Well, I'm happy to talk about it. A lot has happened since last Wednesday. I was on at this time slot last Wednesday, and that was the day before the FCC voted along strictly party lines. Three Democrat commissioners voted in favor of net neutrality. The two Republican FCC commissioners voted again. So the White House package, you know, came from the White House, given to the FCC, which is an issue right there, because we're not sure that that's the right way to do things, because they're supposed to be an independent agency. They're not a department of the White House. But at any rate, it did pass. And we're looking at what happens next legally, and we're looking at some of the new information we've been getting since last Wednesday. So this is breaking news.
Now, you thought for sure that the folks would not pass this, I remember. Is this a shock to you?
Well, no. I thought this would be voted along party lines, just as it was. What I think, though, is it's not going to stay in force. I think either through the courts, or through lawsuits, or which is court-related, or through Congress and new legislation, or a new president that will be elected in 2016 and take over January 20th, 2017. I think among those three possibilities, this will not stand. This is a violation of our internet freedom. There are all sorts of issues, the $17 billion tax to start with that we expect. The list goes on and on. It opens the possibility for trial lawyers to get involved in various types of lawsuits. We're now learning this week, and I do call this breaking news, about the general conduct rule. Do you want me to talk about that?
You're our content, sir. Please go ahead.
Well, thank you. Well, what we've learned since last Wednesday when I was on is that it appears now that the net neutrality regulation package, 300-plus pages, includes a general conduct rule for internet regulation. And this general conduct rule includes something called effect on free expression. In other words, what we're learning is that the FCC is going to be able to deal with companies on a case-by-case basis, not general rules about fairness and neutrality like it's supposed to be, but they'll be able to look at case by case and say, you know, we don't think that bundle of services is just and reasonable, so we can throw it out. But more importantly, the effect on free expression, that essentially raises the possibility they're going to try to bring back the fairness doctrine and go after people like maybe Drudge, because is Drudge just and reasonable? Because in terms of the effect on free expression, they could say he's biased. He presents conservative news.
That's an interesting aspect that they would, the fairness doctrine, of course, really saved AM radio and talk radio for that matter, because before the fairness doctrine was thrown out, you had to have a, for every conservative perspective, you had to have a liberal perspective, and you've had people that want to reintegrate that into radio again, which would destroy it. And now with net neutrality, we could see that on the internet?
Yeah. And by the way, you remember our friends here at the Federal Communications Commission. Do you remember last March? I remember it because I don't know if I did a blog post on it or if I talked on the radio about it. But back in March 2014, the FCC proposed sending monitors into TV and radio newsrooms to ask reporters, editors, hosts, station owners what their philosophy was of the news. What does the FCC care what your philosophy is? We know it's a good philosophy, but why should they ask you that? Is that harassment? And why do you run certain stories? They wanted to ask that of the same people. And it went so far that the FCC proposed sending monitors, whatever monitors are, into newspaper newsrooms. Now tell me that newspapers have anything to do with telephone regulation, right? I mean, it makes no sense. These people apparently wanted to go in and influence the news reporting.
Well, and that's what we're seeing here. So you believe that do you believe that these implementations will happen based on what you said earlier because of the law? Will the lawsuits and the change, hopefully the change at the top in a couple of years in the presidency will negate anything that the FCC could try and implement now?
Well, there's a good chance it'll be tied up in the courts for a year or two. There's a good chance Congress is going to be so outraged that when they get finished, listening to Netanyahu, and when they get finished trying to seal our borders and deal with amnesty programs, that they'll get to this one. Maybe they figure it's going to take a while for this to really get implemented. But let's face it, this is ridiculous. And I said, I think on your program last Wednesday, that net neutrality is a solution that does not work to a problem that does not exist using legal authority they don't have. And so net neutrality was kind of all a smokescreen to get the ability to regulate and tax the Internet and control it. And so I expect fully that they will implement the general conduct rule, and that one of the seven standards will be the effect on free expression, and that there will be attempts to guide, if you will, I'll put that in quotes, guide or control the content that comes over the airwaves.
What about the revenue, the taxes? And will we have to pay more to see President Underwood?
You know, I think that's exactly right. They're talking about it's not going to affect pricing, but all the regulatory apparatus will be in place to impact the pricing models. But more importantly, what you bring up, taxing. Just add the tax, even if you forget raising the prices on Internet services. The first thing we expect within, say, a few months to a year is that the universal service fee that applies to Title II companies, Title II of the 1934 Communications Act, that they will apply that. And there'll be a 16.1% give or take tax on Internet services, which, guess who pays that? Consumers, you and I, citizens. Not only companies will pay it, we'll pay it too. And in addition, it also, from what we understand, will allow states to charge taxes as well. So the first tax, the 16.1% tax, I expect, is just number one. You can expect lots of states to add their taxes too.
Well, you know, just the phrasing, the Federal Department of the Internet, just scary connotations. Now, we've had young people here that have called in and said, well, you know, if we don't have the government come in and save us, then who's to say that Comcast or Cable One or CenturyLink can, slow down your speed so you can't watch your show unless you pay more? We can't trust the capitalism of private enterprise.
Well, shouldn't the content providers pay for the bandwidth they're using? I mean, are the Internet service providers supposed to build out fiber and other structures throughout the country and throughout the world and not be reimbursed for the cost? I mean, they're providing a service. They're providing a highway over which content is delivered. And some of the big content providers, I heard one content provider takes up about half the bandwidth of the Internet every evening because of their movies.
And, gee, yeah, wonder who that is. Yes.
Yeah, right. And should that be allowed and not pay? I mean, are ISP supposed to do this for free and not get reimbursed? Why would you invest in a lot of infrastructure? One ISP has cut back for this year $1.8 billion of new investment because they're worried they'll never get a return on that $1.8 billion. They don't want to build it out for free and take a hit out of their pocketbook, which makes sense. Net neutrality, that whole concept of worrying about throttling back, that's ridiculous because it's not a problem. They were doing fine. They negotiate between themselves. You know, Amazon had a certain deal to get its Kindle download done. They had a special arrangement. Under this new net neutrality rule, that might have been thrown out, and Kindle might not even exist today.
That's a great deal on that Kindle, by the way. That's some good stuff.
Oh, yeah, I enjoy it. I really like it. It's kind of fun to say, oh, I want to read that book, and a minute later, it's right there.
Now, what do you make, though, of folks, again, that the young people that voted for Barack Obama through no fault of their own believe that this is a good thing with the government? We've talked about taxes. We've talked about content. We've talked about everything else. And there's just this inherent trust of government. And, you know, you go back to the founding of the Republic, and we were founded on distrusting government.
That's right. Well, I think, you know, it goes back to a lot of university and college professors that have adopted Marxism as their model. They think they believe in government. They believe it's fair. They believe it's just. And they believe that's the way to go. And they taught a lot of the teachers who are teaching K through 12. You have a lot of schools where, you know, it's obviously not teaching constitutional principles and the value of freedom. Instead, they're saying, no, you need to be taken care of by the government. And that's kind of permeated a lot of people. Unfortunately, they're wrong. All the data indicate progressivism, socialism, those kind of policies fail. And if you think they work, and I know you don't, but I mean, if some young person thinks they work, tell them to look at Obamacare and what a great mess they've made out of our healthcare system, which at one time was the best in the world.
Well, again, I totally agree with you. What, you know, it's interesting, this ruling, if it's allowed to stand, and you've got a lot of heavyweights that are going to make sure that they use everything legally through the courts that it doesn't, but I think that I'm sure it impacts digital natives a lot more than us that are, you know, digital immigrants, for lack of a better term, that these folks that grew up with the iPad, the Kindle, and everything else.
Well, you know, if people fail to take the time to learn economics, then they listen to whoever they choose. And if they want to listen to this drumbeat that all corporations are bad and they're all out to get you ripped off and the government is your savior, well, then I guess you believe in progressivism and socialism. Some believe in Marxism. And that's, you know, that's the way you'll believe. But if you look at the facts, if you study both sides, and by the way, I spend a lot of time reading the opposite opinions of my own just to try to understand their logic. And if you read both sides, you'll always come on the side of freedom. Freedom is where humanity's spirit is.
Well,
you know, freedom is a wonderful thing.
Let's go to the phones. Blair, good morning. You're on 580 KIDO.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, I was having a discussion about this the other day, and they said, oh, no, it'll be a great thing that government will be managing the Internet. And I said, have you heard of Predator? This was the program that the FBI was trying to develop, an IT initiative to, you know, manage everything. How many billions of dollars did they waste on that before they gave up because they couldn't make it work? And then I pointed out, what about the Obamacare website? $2 billion, and it still doesn't work. I said, you know, having federal government manage an IT project, this is the most absurd thing I've ever heard of. Thanks. I'm done. Bye.
All right, Blair. Dr. Lamarill, your thoughts.
Well, I agree with them on the Obamacare. You know, when you think of it, spending over $1 billion to get one website working, it doesn't work. You know how much cheaper my website is? $1 billion, and mine works fine. They can't run one website. How can they run the entire Internet across the United States? It's absurd.
What is your website, by the way, for people that want to jump in?
Well, the quick way to get to it is through my book name, renewingamericabook.com, renewingamericabook.com, or GerardLamero.com, but sometimes people have a hard time with my name because it's not the easiest. It's not Smith,
Hang on, Dr. Lamero, more coming up.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Our guest, Dr. Gerard Lamero, with us at 580 KIDO. Let's go to Ronnie in Caldwell at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hey, what's up, dude? And what's up, Doc? Hello? Well, hey, I'm not really even bothered by this, I don't know what the big deal is because, my situation, right?
What's your situation?
I was telling Kevin, man, I've been getting free internet, dude, for years, for like 7 years, man, and high speed and everything. So I don't really, I don't care about this stuff, man. And I think everybody else ought to think about how I do it.
Do you want your costs to go up?
No, my costs won't go up, man, because I borrow the internet, man.
You borrow it? Well, that's nice. Well, there are people who pay. In fact, I think most consumers pay. And just the taxes alone will raise the prices, but so will the regulations. Also, the lawsuits that are going to come about because of this individual case-by-case regulation. You can expect things like lobbying to go up, and there's costs for lobbying. And you can also figure that there won't be as many bundles around that would have saved you money. And so if you get everything for free, that's wonderful. Most of us pay, and we're going to have to pay more.
I get it from my neighbor, dude. That's how I get it,
You steal it. You're a thief.
No, I don't steal it, man. I just borrow it.
You borrow it.
Well, is there a point to this nonsense, Ronnie?
There is, Millie, and there always is when I call you. The thing I'm trying to say is people need to be more resourceful, man. There's ways to do this without paying a bunch of money for it, man. And I'm just trying to say my way is the best way, and I encourage everybody else to try it.
Well, there are people who have to put the infrastructure in place. You may get to use everything for free, but there are people who worked hard to put that infrastructure in place. Fiber optics across the country cost money. And if you decide to tax it, as the government may very well very soon do that under this new regulation, now your prices are going to go up just on taxes alone.
Now, if they tax it, dude, are they going to make it so I can't get on certain websites? Do I have to pay extra for that, maybe?
Well, it's hard to say because it'll be a case-by-case basis, and there are going to be an awful lot of lawsuits. So we'll have to wait and see who the government picks as the winners and losers.
Well, Millie's taught me one thing, dude. The government doesn't do anything right. So I'm going to step out and say 10-4, good buddy.
All right. Well, breaker.
Roger, over.
All right. That's our infamous Ronnie from Caldwell.
Wow. By the way, I recommend he read some of the books by Thomas Sowell on basic economics. Thomas Sowell's a great professor of economics who understands it well and has written a lot of good books. And you can also read my book about freedom. You might enjoy that.
And one more time, your book on freedom, sir.
Yeah, Renewing America and Its Heritage of Freedom, What Freedom-Loving Americans Can Do to Help. It's all about our freedom, what it is, where it came from, the moral case, why it's better than socialism and progressivism, and what we can do to build our country and make it great, build on our heritage of freedom.
Finally, Dr. Lamero, the lawsuits will be filed next to stop this. Will there be injunctions?
Probably could be. It's hard to say exactly how it'll go. Net neutrality has shown up in the courts several times. It's always thrown out. That's part of the reason that I'm optimistic that all of this will never really happen. It'll be tied up in litigation. But I'm also talking about the litigation where if they do start regulating, people are going to say, well, you're not interpreting the rules the right way. Or since everything is case-by-case basis, everything's going to be ad hoc. It's going to make the FCC into this micromanager of the entire internet. And who knows what that's going to be, but you can bet there's going to be a lot of litigation because there's going to be lots of millions of dollars involved for many companies, both large companies and small companies who are trying to get started. The innovation that we've come to know with the internet will really grind to a halt if this is implemented fully, because permissionless innovation, which is what we had, will no longer be possible. I mentioned the Kindle example with Amazon and their agreement, I forget if it was Verizon, where that's how the books are delivered. They had to arrange kind of their own little service that way. There are a lot of other kinds of services that exist now that wouldn't. Take, for example, the Yellow Pages. You remember the traditional Yellow Pages, those big, thick books with a bunch of Yellow Pages?
Right.
Well, you know that along the way on the development of the internet, somebody got the idea to have phone numbers on the internet as a service. And now a lot of people look up their phone numbers on the internet, right? They don't bother to go to a Yellow Pages book. Well, if this had net neutrality had come into play before those apps were thought of, they might not have ever been allowed, because Yellow Pages could have sued and said, you're infringing on my business model, and your internet version of my business model is unfair to me. So they may have sued, and we may not have ever been able to look up a phone number on the internet.
Dr. Lomero, we appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Okay, you have a great day in Idaho.
Take care.
Bye.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller with you, Dave Burnett, the Manly Man segment. Welcome, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
And I hesitate to do this because every time I do this, you always end up laughing and I always end up frustrated. But I must. I must prove that I'm moving on as a person, becoming a better person, working to make this show better. So I need to acknowledge something.
Okay.
I was wrong. And you were right.
Wow, I can't wait to hear what this is about.
On a topic that you really like, and I do not. But this segment, this show, is not about me. It's about the folks.
Okay.
And I need to be a better role model. I'm admitting that to Alaska Ray out there, I was wrong, and Dave Burnett was right.
Who's Alaska Ray?
He's the one that always gives me a hard time when I get mad at you.
Oh, okay.
Then he goes, ha, 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 ha.
I love Alaska.
Yes, yes. He loves you. So anyway.
I was thinking of the state, but okay.
So before we get too sidebarish, big ups to Leon Rice and the Boise State men, although I'm a little uncomfortable with a lot of those folks from other countries that are playing. But, yeah, I can't give them a clear win. Congratulations to the Broncos for the Mountain West title after, what, starting the season 0-3. Now they're Mountain West champions. And at one time, people laughed at them making the tournament. Looks like they will make the big tournament.
Oh, yeah, it does. And by the way, for those from other countries, I will say this about that. They're here legally.
Oh my.
I'm
a
just
backhand
saying.
So early from Dave Burnett.
They are here legally.
I'd never implied or inferred.
No, and I know you did not. And no, I'm not saying that you did. I'm just saying they've done it the right way. They're here on student visas. They're here legally. I'm good with them playing.
To Leon Rice's credit, he found a way to get these quality players, the Australians, the people from other countries, to come here and to... Well, and you see it now a lot in track and, of course, in soccer, these folks from other countries coming in and contributing. And Leon Rice, who does a lot of good work in the shadow of the football program, who had a chance to go to Wazoo, has stayed. And he's an animal lover like a lot of us, a class act. So big ups to Leon Rice.
And I will say this. I saw on the game Saturday, which, by the way, was on ESPN3. Didn't even make TV. It was on the internet. But after the game, one of the first people to shake hands with him was the football coach, Coach Harsin.
Who was there with his dad.
Yep, sitting there on the sidelines enjoying it, which, I think that's always good when you have the major coaches there supporting each other, because a lot of programs, those guys hate each other because they're battling for the dollars or battling for the budget. So, yeah, I find that refreshing.
Well, it is tough to have a successful football and basketball program. Usually you have one or the other. Mm-hmm. If you're lucky, you take a look. My friend Paul Feinbaum, who is Mr. SEC, he's made his bones by covering Alabama. Now he's all about Kentucky basketball, and I'm so humored by him going, well, yeah, I'm sticking up for Coach Calipari, and I'm going, come on, man. But back to Boise State, back to something relevant that we can all relate to. Big ups to them. Hopefully they'll win the Mountain West tournament and get better. And I guess they're projected now at 11 seed. Those 11, 12 seeds or whatever, whoever the 11 seed goes against, those are usually hyper competitive. So it'd be nice if maybe they could get a 9 seed or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely, it would give them a better shot. 11-12, that's always tough. And I will give Coach Rice credit on this as well. He remade that team. In the middle of the year, they lose a key player, goes down, and they reformed themselves even within the season. That is not an easy thing to do, to suddenly say, guys, we have to change, and here's what we're going to do. So,
right.
So that's a credit to him.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever written a bad email that was intended for some folks and got distributed to maybe the entire company? Or isn't that what some of our biggest fears that we have when we write something and all of a sudden, did I hit reply all or did I hit reply to that just one person?
You know, I have done that, not really bad, but I have replied all. You know, to something. It wasn't a bad, embarrassing sort of thing, other than the fact you dummy, that wasn't intended for everybody. But I have been the recipient. It's funny you mentioned that. I was a recipient of a super secret email yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And you didn't tell me about it?
No.
Is it really good?
No. But it was obviously intended for somebody else, and it's like, oh, they attached me to it. Interesting. But now, I've received those before.
Now, sometimes I get emails intended for Kevin Godwin.
Oh, I'm sure you do all the time.
I do, and sometimes I answer them and go, that's not good enough. You need to work harder. Not really, but...
You'd like to.
Yeah. But you have this case, and it's funny because a lot of people have been yapping to me off the air about covering this story. It's been in Statesman a couple times. The case of Alex LeBeau, the chairman of IACI. If you don't know who that is, that's the biggest lobbying group in the state. They back a lot of the big candidates. They're very successful. The grassroots conservatives have issues with them. There's been a battle between them going back and forth. So you have this guy, Alex LeBeau, who actually I met at a forum a couple years ago. He wrote an email, very uncomplimentary, non-complimentary email of Senator Sitaway, made fun of his last name and had these sexual connotations in it. Well, it became public. Now he's been suspended, but many people believe that he should be fired because of, I mean, it was threatening and all these sorts of things. And in the broader text of it, you know, you're talking about threatening public officials. Of course, that probably happens all the time. We're going to take away your money, this, that, and the other. Is this just a casual mistake, or should there be more serious consequences? He is suspended. We don't know with or without pay. And, you know, IACI does represent big companies like Idaho Power and other, you know, prominent companies in the Treasure Valley in the state.
You know, it's one of those things that my dad always did try to teach me, and he, you know, from a very young age, it was always do what's right, even when no one else is watching. I mean, he preached that to me over and over again. And not to divert from what you're saying, but there's a gal involved with the Veterans Department, not here locally, but works with veterans, returning veterans from the Middle East, and she got caught with pictures mocking them and making fun of them, making fun of suicide, and now she's in trouble. You know, always do what's right, no matter who's watching or not.
That's kind of that's easier said than done. But back to the original question, do you think he should get the boot?
Tough one.
On one hand, I'll answer the question and
please do.
You know, we please do, Kevin. See if you can get yourself out of this one. Look, I'm going to tell you at 580-5436, Kevin at KIDOAM.com, that when you are involved in high-level public affairs, public lobbying, you have to be above reproach. And if the folks at IACI do not give him the boot, and look, I don't want Mr. LeBeau to lose his job, they are endorsing his behavior. You can't have public or private emails making fun of state senators when you are lobbying said senators. You know, I have learned, and you know, Dave Burnett, give me your honest assessment. Kevin, you haven't learned anything. You still have issues. But there are certain ways that you deal with people, whether it's here or in other parts of the country, that are and are not acceptable. You are held to a standard. I am held to a standard. You know, if that had been a teacher making fun of a principal or, you know, somebody snarkily making fun of, you know...
students.
Yes, or perhaps putting it here, if I said something unflattering about an elected official that was on an email, there would be ramifications.
Yeah, I mean, we've become hypersensitive in this day and age, but there is a certain amount of responsibility that those in public office, those in the public eye hold. There's a certain amount of responsibility that we hold, and you just can't do. You can't go out to a bar and get drunk and start making fun of people. You can't be an NFL player and go out and start making racial comments. You can't, you know, there's a certain decorum. Now, in the private of your own home, I suppose, if you want to do that, but there's a chance even now that in the privacy of your own home that information will get out as well.
But here's the deal. Okay, let's say Mr. LeBeau, with all due respect, and we welcome Mr. LeBeau to come on this program, and one of the reasons why I haven't jumped on this, and people have called in to say that I don't pile on. Boy, you have changed, Kevin Miller. That's enough out of you, Dave Burnett. But anyway, not everybody gets to represent Idaho Power or Intermountain West or whomever. These are, you know, and you're dealing with people that make a lot of money, that make a lot of decisions in this state. Is it appropriate to, you know, as a lobbying official, as the head of the corporation, to have these inappropriate double entendre jokes, making fun of Senator Sitaway's last name and, you know, ripping him for standing up for the teachers? Look, it's one thing to disagree, but why in the world would you put something so juvenile on letterhead, on the email? You know, that's one thing if you're on the shop floor or even in a radio studio, not if you're, the head of some big corporation that wears, you know, fancy suits, cars, expense accounts, those sorts of things.
Well, I guess it's that thing of saying something inappropriate or doing something inappropriate, and then that person walks around the corner and that sinking feeling you get of, they just heard me.
Now, that has happened to me here.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, that has happened
to me. I've caught you 5-6 times doing that.
Yeah. Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Well, not only to you, but a couple, but there's a little difference between, huh, I'm glad such and such is here finally, and there's such and such actually working,
yeah,
and crossing the line where you're making fun of someone, you're saying they're going to go nowhere. I mean, you would expect someone at that level to go, well, we have an issue here with the senator. We will take actions if he doesn't fall in line with us, but, you know, it is a republic.
But I will say this. And that is, if somebody is putting that in a private email, if somebody is saying these things in private, it kind of shows their real character. And I go right back to what my dad always said, always do what's right, even when no one's watching.
Win if you can, lose if you must, always cheat.
That was
Schwartz in sixth grade football.
Man, we're out of time almost. And I was loaded for bear today.
That's exactly why I filibustered.
I was loaded for bear, things I thought you'd find interesting.
Yes.
Like a bomb found on the set of Game of Thrones.
Ooh.
Yeah, bomb set in Ireland at Titanic Studios.
Was it a dragon?
No, but it was a bomb set near the catering truck as they were getting ready to try to blow the thing up and get the caterers and those who might be around it.
Mm.
So you had a bomb on the Game of Thrones set. And then the whole question, and maybe this is something to dive into tomorrow.
Winter is coming.
It is. Winter's always coming there. But here's another thing. McDonald's down 4% in sales.
That means the economy's recovered.
They are struggling to figure out what to do. Why? And my question to you today was going to be, why is McDonald's down? What are they doing wrong? They used to be the giant. Have they miscalculated what Americans really want?
Yeah, because, how many times have I invited you out to lunch?
Twice.
27 times, and you always turn me down.
Yeah.
So let's say you and I go to lunch, and I go, yeah, I'd like a quarter pounder with cheese. Quarter pounders come with cheese, sir. Okay. Hey, ding, 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 ding. If you hug Dave Burnett, you're going to get a free apple pie.
Paying it with love.
Right. You're going to get a punch in the face is what you're going to get, McDonald's person.
And they've tried to go healthy.
Yeah, that ain't working.
Producer Ray has said that. They've tried to go healthy. Right. We're going to give you apples. I don't want apples. Here's your apples. Put them in a pie.
How about Shamrock Shakes for everyone?
Yes. So somebody at the top has miscalculated what McDonald's is. And they've tried to go. And then just as long as we're launching, do they advertise here? No. Okay.
There's our credibility.
Their buildings. What happened to the happy arches? They're brown blocks. They look like a prison cell.
And folks, that's the Manly Man segment.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about things that matter.
Exactly.
We're talking about McDonald's. For crying out loud.
Large, please.
We could go into that tomorrow. What have they done wrong? An American icon gone wrong.
Bring
their sales are plummeting.
Grimace.
Yes. Whatever happened to Grimace? Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out.